doing together on Ephesians 4, which touches on the four rules of communication. And just by way of review again, in case you missed the others, and you can find them in Ephesians 4. Some of them are kind of buried in the context of the verses, but you can find them. The foundational one, which we've been talking about the last two or three sessions, is speak the truth in love. To speak the truth, but in a way that draws people to us, that shows that we care about them rather than we're judging them. Be angry, but do not sin. Keep current. Keep a short list of your issues and your problems. Attack the problem, not the person. Those are the four, and we're going to touch on the last three briefly on each one to encourage you to get in there and read that. So let's look at Ephesians 4 and start with verse 25. And this verse again talks about truth, as does verse 15, and as later on as we find in verse 32. He says it three times. When he says something three times in three different ways, we better be listening. Therefore, having put away falsehood, this is verse 25, so put away falsehood, we're being true. Let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. We are together in life, in the church, in our families. 26 says, be angry and do not sin. Oh, that might be tricky to do. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. How often do we do that? How often do we just kind of let it stew and build and smolder? And then 27, and give no opportunity to the devil. And then he says in 27, 28, and 29, some things that we know, so we're going to skip over. Don't steal, don't lie, etc. So you can read through that. But then skip down to 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Let me read that again. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And then the one that just pricks my heart from time to time, because I'm guilty from time to time of violating these rules myself. Verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, to whom you were sealed. I've been sealed. I've been bound to the Holy Spirit of God. He indwells me, lives within my life and through my life, and I become a tool of his to the world around me. But I can grieve him. I can disappoint him. I can discourage him. I can make him work a little harder to make me holy, because I've decided maybe to be unholy in some way. Maybe I've been angry in some way that doesn't glorify him. So verse 31, and here's what happens if you store things up. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Well, now there's a list. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. You ever slander anybody? Talk about them behind their back? We have a nicer word for that, but it's slander. We like to say gossip, but it's a very negative thing. And then 32 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. And there's that speak the truth in love again. So let's look at verse 26. Be angry and do not sin. How in the world do we do that? Comes out, by the way, out of Psalms 4, verse 4. So let's define, first of all, what's sin? Well, that word sin, translated into English and sin, comes out of the Greek. And out of the Hebrew in the original documents, there's about four or five, maybe six words that mean sin. The best one, I think, the one that I use the most often, is missing the mark. You're trying to do what's right, but you can't get there. Hopefully you're not going the opposite direction, but you're trying to do what's right, but you can't get there. You miss the mark. You disobey. So then we ask ourselves, okay, be angry, but don't sin. How in the world do we do that? So when we are angry, irritated, frustrated, emotionally negative, we should always ask ourselves, what's my motive? Why do I feel this way? It's hard to do because our blood pressure's up and our pulse is racing and our face is red and we explode. But if we can back off from that and cool down, why am I feeling this way? Usually it's because we feel threatened in some way. And so we're defending ourselves. Our anger is a way of defending ourselves. But to be angry without sin is not about defending ourselves. It's about defending God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, His reputation, His work in the world. So the best example of this, we see Christ in coming into the temple. And He gets angry at the money changers. What are they doing? Cheating people, charging them high rates to change their money, selling them lambs to sacrifice in the temple that may be diseased or sick, and charging exorbitant rates. And so when Christ comes in, He sees this, and certainly these people that are there having to go through the money changers because they came from far away, they don't have an animal to sacrifice, they're being offended. But Christ looks at them and says, you are offending my Father. And when He identifies that the offense is against His Heavenly Father, He makes a whip and He beats them out of there, chases them out, purifies the temple, fulfills prophecy. So be angry and do not sin to me means, yes, be angry, but angry about what's happening to God and His reputation rather than your own. And then we get further on and we find keep current. And the scripture says, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. So if you don't stay up on what's going on, if there's issues and conflicts and things have settled down and I've gotten through my frustration, now's time to sit down and speak the truth in love. When you behave this way or you do this, it makes me feel taken advantage of, makes me feel unimportant, it makes me feel criticized, it makes me feel angry in return. And I love you and I care about you. I desire to resolve this in a way that it leaves us both as friends rather than enemies. One strategy for this is called gunny sacking. In gunny sacking, you store things up. You say, well, you know, you threw your socks on the floor again, okay, you know, and I'm not going to say anything about it this time, but I'm going to remember that. And we store those issues up, and then when something happens, maybe the bill gets paid late, you know, you just don't care about anything, you know, you leave messes all over the house, you do this, you do that. The problem may be paying the bill on time, but the issue comes down to all the other things that you've stored up and haven't resolved. And so when you don't keep current, then bitterness comes. And we read that verse, wrath, anger, clamor, slander, all that evil stuff comes when we don't stay current. Resolve those things. Don't let them stack up. But if you do, if you say, oh, those socks are on the floor again, they're not in the hamper, and you decide, well, I love him, I'll let it go. Don't say I'll let it go this time and save it up. If you're going to let it go, let it go. That's called let love hide it. And so when love hides it, we definitely do not bring it up again and throw it in the other person's face. The last one is critically important, rule 4. It's in verse 29. Attack the problem, not the person. So when we have an issue, we tend to get angry, we tend to get frustrated. That tone of voice, that body language, that hostility says, I hate you, I don't like you, and you're not acceptable to me. When the problem may be something as simple as the toothpaste tube, which we talked about two or three sessions ago, or the problem may just be paying the bills on time, or the problem may be I was late and I forgot to apologize, or maybe I did something really terrible like I forgot our anniversary, for pity's sakes. And so the problem then is the issue then is to resolve the problem, to look at the problem. Because within marriage, what's a problem for one person in a marriage, one spouse, is also a problem for the other one. These are not separate. So if I'm having trouble paying the bills, she's having trouble paying the bills. If she's having trouble keeping the budget, I'm having trouble keeping the budget. Let's solve this together. Attack the problem, not the person. And so many times, it's the person that gets attacked, usually with exaggeration. You always do this. No, he doesn't always do that. Or you act just like your mother. You know, your mother was just like, no, she's not exactly like her mother. Those exaggerations add fuel to the fire and cause more and more strife and more difficulty. Now, out of this and failure to comply with these directions, as we wrap this up, comes a verse that touches me, and I want to hit on it just a little bit here as we close, and that's verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You remember the story where Christ is bound to a post and being whipped. They're tearing the skin off his back. And Peter is out there warming himself by the fire, and somebody says, hey, weren't you with him? Oh, no, I was never with him. That happens three times. Peter denies his Lord, and all the Lord has to do is look up and look at Peter, and Peter is crushed. Peter is crushed. He goes out crying. There's no hope for Peter. Well, there is hope for Peter, but he doesn't realize it at the time. If you imagine Christ on the cross, and you're involved in deliberately violating, deliberately taking these rules of communication, these guidelines, and throwing them out, ignoring them, and being bitter and angry and hostile and taking offense for yourself rather than what the Holy Spirit has done for you, and you do that, imagine Christ on the cross just looking at you, just turning his face and looking at you, because you have grieved the Holy Spirit, and for that you need to repent and ask forgiveness. And let's close with prayer. So, Father, we thank you so much for loving us. We do not deserve what you have given to us, and we certainly can't earn it. In fact, what you give to us, we often pollute with anger, with hostility, with self-righteousness, with selfishness. But we desire, Father, to love you as you love us, and to show that to the world around us, so that we can be your agent, your tool, your ambassador to those around us by showing your love within all our relationships. Speak the truth in love, Father. This is what we desire for ourselves, and I thank you in Jesus' name.